Father God, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we greet your holy word today. We thank you so much for the nourishment that it brings us. Lord God, that our food comes primarily from your word. That, Lord God, our food primarily comes from doing the will of him who sent us and fulfilling his task. That our food is to do your will, Heavenly Father. And Lord, we thank you that knowing your will by your word makes that possible. Lord God, we give you the glory and the praise and the honor for this season that we're in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, Amen. Praise God. Please take your seats. If you have your Bible with you, will you turn with me? Let's see. Let's start by 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Just want to read a verse of scripture there. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we're going to look at the very last verse, verse number 40. Everyone there, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40. You look so colourful, mate. Stand up, Tommaso, one sec. This is the most colourful I've seen him in yet. Look at that suntan. I'm so jealous of that tan. Bless you, sir. Tommaso, for those of you who don't know, Tommaso was the chef at Soul Survivor. So when we told some of our church friends, you know, we said, our youth have gone down. We've got 46 young people have gone down to Somerset, and they're going to Soul Survivor, and they've brought a chef. They were like, what kind of camping is this that you bring your own chef? Was it a good time? You look younger coming back, so whatever they did to you. Right, if you've got your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 40. It says, but let all things be done properly and in an orderly manner. Let all things be done properly and in an orderly manner. You know, do you ever get a scripture from God and you wonder like, well, Lord, what are you talking about? I said in prayer once, I was asking the Lord, and I said, Lord, this is kind of a bit rich because the Spirit of God wrote scripture through the writers. That's what the Bible says, that men were moved of God. It says all scripture, it says, is given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit in 2 Timothy. And literally those words, if you look at them in Greek, it's like God breathed them. So the breath of God came through the word of God into the mind of the writer and they wrote, right? That's why you can base your life on it. We know if you study scripture, you'll know human hands didn't write this thing. Amen. Absolutely not. There's so many challenges. If you think of the challenges to your life and to your character that exist within the word of God, there's no way a human put that together. So I was reading this and as I was looking at I was studying the church at Corinth at the time. Corinth is one of them wild, crazy, wild west places in the realm of the spirit, where before Christianity hit Corinth, basically anything went. It was a wild place. And then God, by his Holy Spirit, sent people called Priscilla and Aquila down to Corinth. They established a sort of an organization, a meeting there, but they didn't know much about the things of the Holy Spirit. So then Paul shows up and he adds on top of what has already been established. But because it hasn't been established at the outset by apostolic hands, there's all kinds of things going on. There's chaos. They overdid the grace message. Doesn't that remind you of some churches in this day and age where a guy was sleeping with his father's wife and they thought it was okay because they're under the grace of God? Anything goes now. And Paul had to stand up and bring some apostolic correction into that thing. And he said, look, this is the idea I have. When you're gathered together, you know what that scripture says? When you're gathered together, my spirit's with you. It says, hand such a one over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. Hey, I mean, do you see how heavy Paul came down on them? And this was halfway through. You know, usually if you're going to bring a thing like that to a church, you'll bring it through like 3/4 of the way or 4/5 of the way, and then you tell your assistant, start the car, we're going out the fire exit. You understand? I heard Archbishop Duncan Williams one time prophesied over General Obasanjo of Nigeria that he was going to become president of Nigeria, and the actual president of Nigeria was in the same meeting. Imagine, he said to his assistant, start the car, find out where the exit is, start the car and stand by the exit. He prophesied and dashed for the exit. Woo! Glory to God. I wish those days would come again. There's some boldness and some fire needed in this thing called the body of Christ. So I'm reading this thing about Corinth, this Wild West place where the Holy Spirit through Paul, he says, look guys, he says, you come behind in no gift. But there's chaos at the same time. You imagine like somebody standing up to preach and then 4 or 5 people are standing up and babbling in tongues all the way through his preaching. So no one knows what's going on. And in fact, if you read the verse before that, this is one of the things that he's having to correct. He says in verse 39, he says, therefore, my brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak in tongues. In other words, like, you know, like he's not talking about prayer in tongues, because like corporate prayer in tongues is very important, right? He's talking about when somebody is uttering in diverse tongues that people can understand or interpret, right? And he's saying like, but he says, no, he says, these things, do them by all means, prophesy by all means, speak in tongues by all means, but everything must be done decently and in order. So you get the background now that I'm looking at in the scripture. And then I thought to myself, hang on a second. I said, the first meeting that, now talking to the Lord, I said, Lord, the first meeting that you presided over under the dispensation of the Holy Spirit was chaos. Well, you think about it. You know, we in the church, we think, you know, oh, come Holy Spirit, sweet, gentle dove. And we've got this dove mindset of the Holy Spirit. But the first meeting that he presided over under his dispensation, that's the dispensation we live in now, the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. The first meeting he presided over, I mean, a rushing mighty wind came in, nearly blew the walls off the upper room. People splat out in front of the street looking drunk at 9:30 in the morning. Can you imagine if we all roll out of here drunk? What would your neighbours say? And no wonder that church is growing. They're giving out free beer and free alcohol. What do they call it in Ghana? Ogidigi. Do you know that? There's a brand of Ghanaian. I don't know if it's still going now. But there was a Ghanaian brand of whiskey. It's called Ogidigi. Now, even by the name, you can tell the ingredients. It's true, isn't it? No refinement at all. Just give me a bottle of that Ogidigi. Right there. My gosh. So I'm saying to the Lord, I'm saying, wow, you know, this was Pentecost. It was a riot. The Bible says that Peter took his stand to preach, which meant that even Peter was out on the deck. Are you listening to me? Are you understanding where it's coming from? And yet then what happens is, as the church grows, you see, what was missing on the day of Pentecost was structure. Jesus put the infrastructure in, right? He took 12 men and made them disciples. And in fact, as I was praying this morning, the Lord said this to me. Because, you know, you can go to a theological college and have all kinds of arguments about church structure. That there's the Presbyterian structure, which is why they're called the Presbyterians. That there is the Baptist structure, which is all about deacons. And, you know, a lot of Baptist churches have ended up deacon-possessed. And I tell you something, a deacon who's standing against the face of God is worse than a demon. Worse! Because at least God can cast the devil out. You have to wait for them ones to die. I'm preaching here. I don't know what you're listening to, but I'm preaching. The Lord said this to me. He said, church structure should never be built on deacons. The first church, he said, was built on disciples. And I thought, wow, what a revelation to set the 21st century body of Christ free. that a church shouldn't be structured on deacons. The first church, if you're going to follow, should we call ourselves First Church? Would that be better? No, it wouldn't, would it? Okay. The first church was structured on discipleship. So a man called Jesus Christ, who was known for preaching, the Bible says when he came into Nazareth, as was his custom, he lifted up the book. So he was used to being in the synagogue. He was a man of God. He was a church man already, right? We don't get this right. We think that Jesus was walking along a beach one day, floating through the air, as only Jesus can. And suddenly he finds some guys and he says, follow me. And the Bible says they left everything and followed him. If I walked down the street and I said to somebody, follow me, and they left what they were doing and followed me, I wouldn't want them to follow me. That's called acute mental illness. Am I right? Yeah. So, but you see, Jesus was already known as that. He was already known as this man of God. What manner of man is this? He speaks to the wind and the waves. O casa maframa. You don't know that song. I'm singing tree to a Kenyan. I got all mixed up. You have this man, Jesus, and he calls these disciples. So these guys, they know. Now, another lunatic idea we have is that they just dropped everything and ran off. That couldn't be the case. Because when Jesus was dead and buried, and they didn't know he'd risen from the dead, Peter said, I'm going fishing. And he got in a boat, which means he didn't just leave the boat there to rot. He left his business in the hands of people who would take care of it. How do we know? Because before Jesus was known as risen from the dead, he went back fishing in the boat and caught 153 fish. Do you remember that?
Yes.
You see, we've got this idea of chaos in the body of Christ. And really what the Holy Spirit is speaking in today's day and age is structure. And this is what God said to me. He said, everything has structure. In the early days of the church, there was no structure, but there was the infrastructure of discipleship. So when the disciples then were filled with the Holy Spirit, they knew things like rank, things like authority, things like order, things like structure. And on the outside, you see, for instance, here in Harvest, we might, if you didn't know us from the inside, we might not look all that structured. But brother, we are structured. Thank God. And we're structured through disciples. So I have my team of 12 disciples. My wife has her team of 12 disciples. And they are effectively, in one way or another, the government of the church. Do you see what I mean? What's that? That structure. Why? Because all things must be done properly and in order. In one translation, I like it. It says done decently and in order. Why is that? Let me tell you why. It's so that the rushing mighty wind can come in and the place won't blow down. Amen. 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 We've got this weird thing. And God puts order and he puts structure in everything. In fact, Titus chapter 1, here's a lovely scripture. I love this. Titus chapter 1 and verse number 5. This is the Holy Spirit writing through Paul to Titus, one of his primary disciples. And he says this, he says, for this reason, I left you in Crete that you would set in order what remains. Or one translation, I think it's the King James, it says that you would set in order the things that are wanting. I feel this for September, that this season of fasting that we're going in as a church, I feel this, that there's things that God wants to speak to us in relation to or in regard to our character, in regard to our lifestyle, in regard to the things that God wants us to change for the glory of his name, that we will seek God personally. Father, what is it in me? I had this chat with the Lord way back in the 90s. I think it was I think it was September 98. There's something about September. Feast of Tabernacles falls in September when Israel used to go out in tents and dwell in tents and that kind of thing. It's that season of change. And I really feel that for us as a ministry here, that it's a season of change. Opportunity comes with change.
Amen.
May you get your opportunity in the name of Jesus Christ. And I was having this chat with God, September 98, and I said, Lord, I feel like I'm banging my head against a wall. Harvest isn't growing. I know you've called me to ministry, such and such, and I named the ministry down the road that was growing. And it was like, God, you know, what's happening here? And the Lord said this to me. He said several things, but I remember this one distinctly for this time. He said, well, my word says, I am the Lord, I change not. He said, so if you want to grow, guess who's got to change? Amen. Amen. Change is good. Nudge your neighbor and tell him change is good. Change is real good. Hallelujah. He says that you set in order the things that are wanting and appoint elders in every city. Why appoint elders in every city? Structure. Structure. Put in structure. Underpin your life with structure. I've got certain structures in my life, things that don't change. Sometimes I drive my wife nuts because I am a very, very structural person. Yes. I mean, you know, she knows where she'd find me. If she was in Abu Dhabi preaching over there or something like that, and it was 1 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, she knows where I'll be, she knows what I'll be doing and all that kind of thing. Why? Because my life is structured. I don't like this kind of, are you the same? Does it drive your wife mad? Yeah, good. There's something about it, you know. God gives the man, I think, some more structural stuff, doesn't he? The women are more chaotic. No? Okay, then I'll leave that one with you. Okay. I'll take that one back. Uh-huh. You see, he gives us structure in our marriages. Right? The Bible says what? The husband is the head of the wife. Now, that doesn't mean that they're the spiritual head of the wife, because if Mary's praying to Jesus, she doesn't pray to Jesus in the name of Temmie. Do you understand? I hope she doesn't. I've never checked. I've never asked you. No. Yeah, so thank God she's got more sense than that, you see? So he's the domestic head. So when God comes to judge the works done in the household, guess who he's looking at? Anything. In fact, Billy Graham said this, and it's really stood the test of time. He said, anything with more than one head is a monster. It's true, right? It's true. Well, I know of ministries where the wife has married the husband because she thought that he was the gateway to the success of her ministry. Oh, yeah. Man, you want a train wreck? Go help yourself getting married on that basis. I've seen it with my own two eyes. It's a failure every time. Why? Because, you see, that's not the structure. That's not the role of marriage. Marriage isn't it? Like, dude, if you ever think that somebody's marrying you to get rich, get a prenup, quick. In fact, let me advise you, don't even get married at all on that basis. Why? Because the foundations are wrong. And if the foundations be shaken, what can the righteous do? You see, my life can be shaken. My life has been shaken. Shaken. My faith has been shaken. I mean shaken. Proper shaken. But because it was built right. And I can't give anyone the glory. You're looking at 2 O-levels and 1 CSE. So you can't look at me and think, wow, Paolo, aren't you a great man? Oh, Pastor P, blah, 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 blah. I wish I was more like Pastor. No, I wish I was more like Jesus. Follow me as I follow Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. There's absolutely no way I could get the glory for that. I'm just not clever enough. Thank God. Maybe that's why I bunked school so much. Was so that I could stand here and preach that I'm not clever enough in my own natural. Hallelujah. All the school dodgers said, yeah, there's a few. I knew it. I only said that to highlight the suspects. Now you know who they are. It's them two over there. You see, that's the structure in marriage, right? marriage isn't, you know, the people like now and nowadays, they're talking about, oh yes, equal marriage. There's no such thing. The husband's the head of the wife. So if two wives get married, who's the head? Leave that one with you, man. Like some of you looking confused. Okay. Structure in finance. God gives us structure. Number one, never live beyond your means. Never. I'm watching these adverts growing and I'm thinking, God, how many mugs are there out there who are taking these things? The quick quids, the wongas, there's hundreds of them. And it's like they're trying to beat each other on how, you know what an APR is, an annualized percentage rate, on the size of the APR. It's like one of them had an APR, an annualized percentage rate of 1,270%. In other words, if you borrow £1, over the year, you'll end up paying £1,270 back because you borrowed a quid. Dude, back in the day when I lived in Tottenham, some of my friends were armed robbers. Some of my best friends are still in jail. Some of them are dead. But some of them were armed robbers. And to rob someone, they used to put on a mask, like usually a stocking, and get a sawn-off shotgun, right? And they'll go in the bank and rob the people. Nowadays, they'll do you a quick loan. And it's got the same effect. It's true. You used to have to punch someone in the head to get their money. Now you just do a quick loan. My gosh, may God for you. Never nudge your neighbor and tell him, if I ever catch you living beyond your means. If I ever catch you living beyond your means. I remember God got this out of me. Oh my gosh, when I got saved, I had to go to Ireland to escape all those friends I've just told you about. And I lived there for 4 years. And my salary was £28 a week. That's what I was living on. My rent was £14. I had £7 for food, and the other seven was just because we didn't know anything about tithing. There was never any, like, we didn't even have a church. We just used to meet in houses and homes and stuff like that. And that's literally all I had to live on. And God showed me how to live within my means. I used to get 24 value sausages for £1.99 and 24 value burgers for £1.99 and a big bag of potatoes. They used to call it 4-stone bag of spuds. You remember that, Nick? Four stone bag of spuds. This big bag. 4 stone. How many is that? That's 14. I don't know. That's a lot of stone. That's a lot of kilos of potatoes, right? And one day I would have sausage. The other day I'd have burger. Sausage, burger. So I knew what was coming. Tomorrow, what's today? Oh, yeah, Tuesday, sausage. Wednesday, burger. Thursday, so I don't know what it did to my insides. But, dude, you see, back then, there was no such thing as dial alone. Dial a what? Are you kidding me? I couldn't even afford the phone call to phone alone. I mean, that's how bad it was. Do you understand? I got that thing out of me. Now, some of us, we need to go through that process. And every time you're watching the TV then and there's another loan advert and it's like, it's not helping you. It's not helping you. Do without. Touch your neighbor and tell them, do without. Do without. Just and touch your other neighbor and tell them, just fake it till you make it. You know, even if you have to buy, what's that one, Bata trainers? You remember Bata, the Nike of Africa? Yeah. Yeah, they sell them in Kenya, yeah. Yeah, right. Even if you have to get that one and just paint, get some Tippex and just paint the tick on your thing. Or you get some Primark T-shirt and then you just a plain one and then you get some bleach and you just create the tick there. That's it. That's it. That's it. No worries. Everyone starts somewhere. Job said, he said, though my beginnings may be what? Small. My latter end shall be greatly increased. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not where you start. It's not where you start. It's where you end up. But living within our means, that is one thing. get it in order. Get that. If you're going to fast this month, get this thing out. Get this desire. Get this. No, you can live within your means. The Word of God says you can. So you got to find the way. Oh, Pastor P, I'm not a millionaire, so I can't live within my means. As if getting more money, if getting more money was the answer to people's financial troubles, then how many lottery winners would you have that aren't broke? They're all broke. They win the lottery one, like the way they get ripped off. It's terrible. It's really sad. You see why? God's not into the lottery. Why? There's no structure to it. It's random. See, we can't read that scripture, let all things be done decently and in order, and then discount our financial stuff out of it, or discount our marriage in ministry. There's no such thing as chaos and disorder. There was one chaos meeting and one disorder meeting, and that was when the Holy Spirit came in the book of Acts. And that was it. From there on out, you don't find it. That's why God sent Paul to Corinth to correct all that mess. May God correct your mess in the name of Jesus. We've had whole movements where the Holy Spirit has received a bad name as a result of the chaos and the, you know, like people falling out all over the place and all that kind of. You see, that we have meetings for that. It's called All Night. And we have it from 11 p.m. to like 4:30, 5 a.m. because then we can go wild. Do you understand? But on a Sunday morning, my goodness, no way. No, this thing is decent and in order, right? If God breaks in, we've got things like we're ready. We've got catchers. We've got ushers. We've got oil to anoint people with. We've got, but then, then everybody sits down and is decently and in order. Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen.
Some of you aren't so sure. It's like, you're okay. But you see, this is the way God has ordained it.
Joey and I were in a church up north once, and it was kind of, this church really found its feet in the Holy Spirit movement in the 90s, what they used to call the Toronto blessing. Really, it was like a refreshing blessing. The media called it the Toronto blessing because when you label something, it's easy to box it. So the Toronto blessing was for Toronto, not for the whole world. Do you understand? The devil's cute, isn't he? I mean, not cute, I mean crafty. Yeah. And so this church really found its feet in that ministry. But like certain infrastructural points were missing. So I remember we were up with, it was Kathy Lechner, wasn't it? Kathy Lechner was preaching there one time. We went up really just to support her. And while we were sitting there, I was sitting on the second row, probably about the third seat in, just where Alero is there. And this guy, I just heard this guy standing up and walking forward, and he had a book in his hand. Now, Prophet Kathy's preaching, and she's prophesying. The Spirit of God was moving in a great way. And up gets this dude with his book in his hand, and it's obvious that he's a bit drunk, and he's like, he's coming forward. And I thought to myself, my first thought was, it's all right, the ushers will handle it. The ushers will take care of it. They didn't have no ushers. Oh, you know, we'll let the Spirit usher. Hey. So anyway, as I found this out afterwards, and as the guy's coming forward, I look behind me because now he's disturbing the meeting, and he's got a book of poetry in his hand. The dude wants to come forward and read poetry in the middle of our spiritual mum's meeting. Now, dude, how many of you know that ain't going to happen? The Spirit of Tottenham London N15 fell upon me fast. Fast. So anyway, by the time he got to about the fourth row, he's starting reading this poetry now as she's talking, and nobody is moving from now. I'm a guest in the church. I thought, dude, like, I can't have her being disgraced. This is my father's house. She's our church mother. There's no way this is going to happen, right? So I'm up. I'm out of my seat. I've got his arm behind his back. And can I borrow a toque? Let me borrow you. I want to show you this because it was funny. So I've got his arm behind his back like this, right? And I'm walking him out the door. He starts shouting, "What the heck's going on?" Except he didn't use the word heck.
just, you know, use your imagination. What the heck's going on? He says, ow, ow. So every time he's opening his mouth more, my hand is going further up his back like that, right?
That's good.
Now, please, thank you, Token. Put your hands together for this great man. So as he's getting noisy up, my hand is going, he says, ow, he says, you're breaking my arm. I said, dude, look, I said, be quiet now or I'll break the other one, right? And I've got him out the door of this meeting and into the foyer. And then somebody said to me, oh, yeah, that's John. He drinks a bit too much and he likes to come to the meetings. And I thought, hang on a second. Where's the structure? Where's the order? Dude, try that in this place. I challenge you. Our security guys are so well trained. They know exactly how much pounds per square inch it would take to open the fire exit with your head. Are you listening to me? What? Structure. Structure. I should have got a T-shirt that said, the management, what is that? The management, what's that thing? It says on... The management reserves the right to refuse admission. Huh. I mean, there's even structure. You try that in a nightclub. There's even structure in a nightclub. What's that structure? We've got to get it. Got to get it into our lives. Got to make sure it's in our churches, our cell groups, our families, our finances. We should have a good structure to our lives. Here's my testimony. The Bible says by faith, the men of old obtained a testimony. So when that testimony is obtained, then what's the next thing? You know what God said to me about that particular thing? Because I prayed about it after. I said, Lord, that's not right. Or if I'm missing something, show me. He said, no, you're right. He said, the reason, now this is how God put it to me. He said, the reason that when you go to Costa Coffee or Starbucks or one of those coffee shops, he said, they serve you the drink in a cup. They could put it to you in a plastic bag. Imagine you go and you order a large latte and they give you a sandwich bag with the milk and the coffee in the thing. What would you think? It's possible. It's doable. But you see, there's not enough structure to hold the thing. And that's exactly what God said concerning it. He said, you know, people could serve coffee in a plastic bag. But no, it needs structure. It needs that. Are you understanding? Well, right. Now, apply this to your own life. Where's the plastic bags where there should be cups in your own life? Put some structure in. It's a challenge from the Lord. Structure. I prayed once concerning marriage. I said, Lord, there's obviously a big deal that you have regarding sex outside marriage. I said, what's wrong with this? What's wrong with sex? You know, you have a frank discussion with the Lord sometimes about certain things you don't understand. But then when you understand it, light comes. That's what revelation is all about. It's about turning on the lights. And the Lord said it to me this way. He said, you're made in my image and likeness. So I don't like to see myself doing such things. Whoa. Hey. Do you remember when the guy's having sex with the woman in the Bible? Like the Bible's like a mafia film, some of the scriptures. I mean, you find more violence in the Bible than you would on a lot of films. And I was reading where the guy was having sex with the woman and then he spilled his stuff on the ground and God killed him. So God was watching him have sex. We're made in the image and likeness of God. And he said, I give you a covenant so that when that kind of thing is going on, I see the covenant. I don't see all the... You understand? Hallelujah. Some of you are like this. Some of you are like, dude, please, it's Sunday morning. We don't do that kind of thing. Yes, you do in your homes. You do. You do. Yeah. What's that? What's that structure?
That's right.
Covenant. You know how he put it to me? He said, I dare you. He said, go to it. And he named Dubai. right? Because the Sheikh there, Sheikh Mohammed, I don't know if you know much about Dubai, but the Sheikh there, he's got a great honorable reputation in the world. He's known as a very honorable man, very upstanding, very forthright. He's pro-family. He's very compassionate. People who have been caught doing things in his nation, instead of jailing them for 5 years or whatever, he'd rather deport them back to their own country and deal with them. He's just known, even throughout the Middle East, as having that compassionate streak. He's a great giver, all kinds of stuff like that, right? And the Lord said to me this. He said, I dare you to make an image of that man and go to that man's country and let that image run around naked. See what that sheikh would do. He thought, wow. You see, when God's saying don't have sex outside marriage, he's defending his reputation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, I give you a covenant, he said, so that when you're doing what you do, that's what I see. I see the covenant. I thought, wow, you know what? This makes so much sense. Yes. But what's God looking for? You see, sometimes we have to obey him even when we don't understand the reason why. A lot of the time, in fact, most of my life, the obedience has come first and then the reason why has come after. And sometimes it's come like 20 years after. You know, let me, for those of you who aren't married, right? Married. Marriage isn't going to solve your sex problems. That's the truth. Having sex with the same woman for 20 years is like eating a cheese sandwich every day. For 20 years. Now, there's only so much. Okay, let's. Okay. Dude, trust me. I don't know what I had for breakfast today, but it was good. Hallelujah. Right, you can have cheese and pickle, cheese and tomato, cheese and lettuce, cheese and onion, cheese and ham. You can have all kinds of different cheese. You can have brie, gouda. Limburger, panna cotta, what's that? Ricotta cheese, mascarpone. I mean, there's a million types of cheese, but it's still cheese, right? Are you listening to me?
Yes.
But you know, occasionally the wind of God will blow on your relationship and bring a revival. Yes. Ooh, mommy. You see, why? Why is that? Because it's in a covenant. And if there's one thing I know about God, he keepeth his covenant. So what God has joined together, let no man tear asunder. When you tear a marriage apart, dude, you are in proper trouble. You are in proper trouble. May the Lord, if you're listening to me by podcast or you're watching by television, and that's been you, just deal with that with God right now. Yes. Ask the Holy Spirit to visit you and to cleanse you. Become, once you've confessed that sin and dealt with it, become blood conscious. That sin consciousness no longer hides itself in you. Become blood conscious. The blood of Jesus is greater than any sin that you've ever committed. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In fact, stand to your feet right now. Here's a good place to end. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for structure. We thank you for order. We thank you, Lord God, that where there's order, there is progress. That where there is structure, there is visitation. Lord, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. You are welcome as a rushing mighty wind. You are welcome as a gentle breeze. You are welcome as thunder and power and fire. You are welcome as the God who kills and makes alive. You are welcome as the God who heals, as the God who restores, because you are our God. The clay can't say to the potter, I have no need of you. Lord God, you are the potter, we are the clay. Whatever is lacking, Father, particularly over this month, Lord God, we pray, Father, that you will do something wonderful in our lives, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. do something new in my life. Something new in my life. Something new in my life. Oh, Lord. Let the winds of change blow.
Do something new in my life. Something new in my life. Something new in my life. Oh, Lord.
That's our prayer today, Heavenly Father. We give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it. And Father, we pray, Lord God, that you crown this fasting time with the conference, Lord, as we run up to it. That, Lord God, it will be such a time of celebration, of honoring your name, of honoring the glory of your name. To you be the glory and the honor and the power, Father, forever and ever. In Jesus' name, Jesus. Amen.